Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. And as you're finding that, something that I would like for y'all to keep in the back of your mind this morning is that part of being ready for Christ's return is caring for others. Now, a little reminder about Matthew in case it's been a while since you've read him. Matthew's gospel was written by the tax collector turned disciple Matthew, whose surname was Levi, and he was a Jew who had worked for the Roman government collecting taxes, so he was kind of on the outs with his people, and not, you know, but then he came to follow Christ and then was even more on the outs with his people. But the focus of his gospel, in a very big way, was to provide proof to a Jewish audience that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. And, you know, that's why he began his gospel the way he did, with the genealogy of Jesus. But again, we're in Matthew chapter 25. I trust that you found it now, starting in verse 31. And as is our custom, if you would please rise in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. Starting in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you didn't clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you didn't take care of me. Then they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and not help you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. Let's pray. Merciful Father, we thank you for these words that we have, these words of Jesus that are here for us to learn from and understand and apply to our lives. We ask that we would be transformed by the hearing of the word today. And we ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I know that Thanksgiving is over and we're all ready to start thinking about Christmas. I know some of you have even probably all decorated, and some of you have started decorating. I managed to get our front yard done, so I'm proud of that accomplishment. I had help. But we're ready to start thinking about Christmas, but a little bit of background on, like, the church calendar year. you know, for centuries and centuries, the church calendar has kind of been a one-year rotation of the major events of the life of Christ. And so the church calendar starts with Advent, which is the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, which actually starts next week. So we will have, you know, Advent, and then we go, you know, go on into things like Resurrection, Ascension. All these things, you know, are celebrated throughout the calendar year by a lot of church traditions. Baptists aren't necessarily so great at hitting all of those. But on that church calendar, the last Sunday of the calendar year for the church calendar, the Sunday before Advent, starts the new year, is called Christ the King Sunday. And it's a reminder for us that Christ reigns eternally. And it's an important thing. It kind of finishes out, you know, because we start with him, you know, coming as a baby, go through the various events of his life, and then finish up with his eternal reign. So this is a good reminder for us, and I want us to kind of focus on this today because it's a good reminder that while Christ hasn't established an earthly reign yet, if we are his, he already reigns over us. He is already in charge of our lives. And if that is the case, then we should really be looking forward to his return in glory, because we know that in fact Christ will return. He has promised it, and we want to take a look at that a little bit today. What's going to happen when he returns, and how that's going to affect us, and how that's going to affect some others. Now again, we read in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Now, you may remember that the first time our Lord came to earth, he did not sit on a glorious throne. He didn't occupy a throne at all. He, in fact, occupied at one point a manger, which is a feeding trough for animals, because there was no room in the inn. He occupied the home of a carpenter growing up. At times, he occupied no home, and even said, though foxes have holes and birds have nests, the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. Finally, during his first time on earth, he occupied a cross to bear the disgrace of our sin and remove it from us. During his first Advent, if you will, Christ did not allow his holy angels to come to his rescue. You know, at any point from his arrest till the moment of his death, he could have called on legions of angels to come and take him off of that cross. He could have come down off of that cross, but he did not. He stayed to pay that penalty for us, and it's important. However, he did assure us that he will return. And his return is going to be much different than the first time he comes. Because when he returns, it will be in unimaginable glory. I honestly believe that we cannot picture just how spectacular his return is going to be. I think we have, you know, we can read and understand a bit of what we read, but I don't think we can fully fathom it. I don't think we're capable. This time, he's not going to be a baby in a manger. This time, the Son of Man will return in the same way the disciples saw him ascend to heaven. He will come with the trumpet and the angels and all this going on. he will come to take his rightful place as ruler of the earth. There is no carpenter's home when he returns. Heaven is his home and earth is his footstool. There's no cross when he returns. There is, in fact, a host of holy angels by his side doing everything he commands. And when he returns, what he is going to do as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is to sort out his kingdom. There's going to be a big sorting. And what's going to happen is the sheep are going to be placed to the right, the place of honor. The goats will be placed to the left, or the place of dishonor. Now, the sheep on the right will receive the place of honor because this is the place for those who followed his will. The will of Christ includes care of the poor, the sick, the naked, and the imprisoned. It's clearly stated here. There's no getting around the words of Christ here. There's just not. Fifth century Bishop of Constantinople, John Chrysostom, I always love to read his stuff, you know, still great 1500 years later. He writes, "And mark how easy are his injunctions. He said not, 'I was in prison and you set me free. I was sick and you raised me up again.' But you visited me. You came to me. And neither in hunger is the thing commanded grievous. For no costly table did he seek, but what is needful only, and his necessary food, and he sought in a suppliant's garb." He's not asking for really a whole lot. Care and compassion, that's what he's asking for, or demanding, let's put it that way. Our Lord identifies with the poor, the hungry, the sick, the naked, because at different points in his earthly life, he was each of these things. He knows what that is like and demands that his people care for those. Now, we mentioned the goats. They go to the left, the place of dishonor, and we're told that they did not care for the least of these. They were not concerned with the poor, the sick, the naked, the imprisoned. The goats were concerned with themselves. Anybody here know the difference between sheep and goats, the animals, you know, how they act? Sheep are, you know, maybe a little more mild, a little more docile, willing to follow. Any of y'all ever been around goats? They can be aggressive and mean and anybody ever been too close to a billy goat? They stink. They're horrible. Off to the left with the goats, who are concerned about themselves and not concerned about Christ's will. And then once the sheep and the goats are separated, then as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Christ will pronounce judgment. We read starting in verse 34, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to drink. or I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took me in. I was in prison and you visited me. Y'all ever read something like 15 times and then discovered a typo? I just did that. But it's not the point. But I want to be clear. Christ is rewarding those who've done his will. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he lists why. But I want us to be very clear so that you don't hear me wrong. I'm not preaching a salvation based on works, and neither is Christ here. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 reminds us, for you are saved by grace through faith, and that it is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. Well then, why is he talking about these works if these works won't save us? It's because the works are the actual evidence of your faith. They are proof that you have put your trust in Christ instead of in the things of the world, in your own desires. These works are the proof of your love for him. James 2:18, we read, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works. James also writes that faith without works is dead. He also notes that, you know, you believe that God is one, even the demons believe and shudder. Our works are not what saves us, but they are what prove our love for Christ. Salvation is a gift, and I think we've talked about that plenty. Note that Christ says, you who are blessed by my Father, there in verse 34. We did not earn a place in his kingdom. He blessed us with that. He chooses to bless his sheep. Because the sheep are the people who claimed Christ and did the works he commanded. Where the goats are people who claimed Christ and did not do the works that he commanded. There are going to be a lot of people really disappointed at the judgment when they realize they thought they put their trust in Christ one time at a tent revival or wherever, showed up, took a dive through the tank, and then never lived for Christ anymore after that. Never really trusting him. They went on to continue to live for themselves. I want you to pay attention to something here. The sheep are surprised because they were not looking to take care of the Lord. Oh, when did we see you hungry, naked, sick? Like, Lord, we never saw you like this. They were simply living out the Christ-like call to care for those in need. They simply had enough of the love of Christ in them that they wanted to share that with people they saw, not realizing that Christ so closely identified this with them. This wasn't a work to gain Christ's approval. It was just the natural outpouring of their love for Him, because love for Christ and love for others always goes hand in hand. You must put love of Christ first, but you can't love Christ and not love others. Now, the goats, on the other hand, are surprised because they would have taken care of the Lord. Well, Lord, if we had seen you this way, we would have. Because they wanted to be approved by Him. But they overlooked those He cared about. Now, you may remember that we read, that the sheep are blessed by the Father. Now, what are the goats told? Depart from me, you who are cursed. Note, it does not say, you who are cursed by the Father. The Father did not curse the goats. Instead, their own lack of love for Christ is what cursed them. Their love was cold. They demonstrated that lack of love for Christ in their lack of love for others. Again, not a works-based salvation. Simply love of Christ, love of others, because if Christ is reigning in our hearts, the natural expression of that is helping others. So then, the simple question that every one of us needs to ask ourselves today is, am I a sheep or am I a goat? That's what it all comes down to. And if we are sheep and have the love of Christ in us and express that love to others, part of that is being willing to share the gospel with others. We all know that the gospel is good news, but before it can be good news, it's what? Bad news. And what's the bad news? That's right, we are all born as sinners separated from God. What's the worst news? That's right, there is not a thing that you and I can do to resolve that situation. We can't be good enough. We can't be religious enough. We can't even feed enough of the homeless and poor and hungry and visit enough people in prison to make up for our sin. But you know what the good news is? Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's the good news. He lived that life without sin. All 33 years of His life, He never committed the first sin. Can you imagine? Sometimes I do good to go 33 minutes. He not only lived a life without committing sin, but then He paid the price for our sin. He suffered on the cross to die for our sin. He took it to hell and left it there. And the proof of that was His resurrection on the third day. Christ did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's the good news. And what's the best news of all? It's free. You can't earn it. You can't get it at all, except that you just receive it as a gift. Isn't that the hardest part sometimes? Aren't we kind of naturally inclined to feel like we gotta earn our way? We don't. Christ, our King, did this for us the first time he came to earth. And when he comes back, he is coming back to rule. He is separating out his kingdom, and he will reward the sheep and the poor goats who have missed out. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for this passage of scripture this morning. We thank you for these words of Christ. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to think about our King who is returning. And Father, we ask that you would just remind us all throughout this week to demonstrate the love of Christ that we have in our hearts. And we ask if there is anybody here today or watching online later who does not know Jesus as their Savior, we would ask that today would be that day. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Now,